Although this morning's lesson has been planned for some time, the events of this past week could easily have prompted our study. On Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, we delivered about 115 baskets to those who were shut in and sick. And I wish that you could read the cards we've already received and heard the telephone calls that I've already received from people who have expressed appreciation. On Monday, the guidance counselor from one of the schools here called and said, we have a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old girl and 11-year-old boy that are in dire need of some clothing. I said, give me past Wednesday night. On Wednesday, a family came into the office who'd lost everything in a fire, husband and a wife and an adult son who has some serious problems, medical problems. I said, come back Friday morning. Wednesday night, I announced to the congregation the needs. By Friday morning, we had over 200 articles of clothing, several articles of furniture, kitchen items, sheets, blankets, towels, you name it, at the building. The family who had had the fire came and took 2 truckloads, and Joe Harden has delivered some other items that day and yesterday, and we have some others coming, a stove and other items that have been donated. Friday afternoon, in fact, Friday morning, we called some of the members to come in and sort those clothing so that we could be sure that the ones that were needed were obtained. Friday afternoon, the guidance counselor came by, and we sent about 50 articles of clothing. We found out the father and mother and grandfather's size in that family, and we had several items for Christmas for the 8-year-old and 11-year-old. And after that, I called Jimmy Burton, who helps us distribute clothing throughout this area, and he came and got the rest of the clothing that were there. Wednesday night and Thursday morning, you gave me $500 in cash. We divided that between those two families. Friday afternoon, we baptized 2 adults here at the building. Ann Tucker has taught her co-worker, Danny Morrison. Danny and her husband, Mark, were baptized here at the building. David Thomas is working with someone who's extremely ill, and we're hoping to baptize him as soon as possible. I just wish you could have been with me all week. Folks, Christianity is working. All we have to do with this congregation is just say, here are the needs, and usually there's somebody who has what we need, and if you don't, you give money, and we take care of the situation. I enjoy giving other people's things away. And it has been one of the most enjoyable weeks. This morning's lesson really was prompted by a song. As I've mentioned several times, Judy and I spend a lot of time together in the car. And I think in terms of sermons. I've been thinking in terms of sermons for 40-something years. And even when I'm in the car and listening to the radio, I get ideas. I try to keep my little recorder next to me, especially if it's after dark, so that I can reach and put a note on it. Somehow or other, I don't remember all things as well as I used to, and some instances never did. But I heard a song a few weeks ago that caught my attention. I've heard it 4 or 5 times since then. I want to share with you the words of it this morning. It's the song, The Chain of Love, by Clay Walker. He was driving home one evening in a beat-up Pontiac when an old lady flagged him down. Her Mercedes had a flat. He could see that she was frightened standing out there in the snow until he said, I'm here to help you, ma'am. By the way, my name is Joe. She said, I'm from St. Louis and I'm only passing through. I must have seen 100 cars go by. This is awful nice of you. When he changed her tire and closed her trunk and was about to drive away, she said, how much do I owe you? Here's what he had to say. You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you. Well, a few miles down the road, the lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite to eat and then be on her way. But she couldn't help but notice how the waitress smiled so sweet and how she must have been 8 months along and dead on her feet. And though she didn't know her story, and she probably never will, when the waitress went to get her change from a $100 bill, the lady slipped right out the door and on the napkin left a note. There were tears in the waitress' eye when she read what she had wrote. You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you. That night, when she got home from work, the waitress climbed into bed. She was thinking about the money and what the nice lady's note had said. As her husband lay there sleeping, she whispered soft and low, "Everything's going to be all right. I love you, Joe." When I heard that song, I thought back to 40 years ago when I came to a hospital in Middle Tennessee. Judy and her mother were in the hospital and her dad was dead from an automobile accident. I thought about the next 2 years when we had someone in the hospital over 200 days. And I thought about all the people who helped us make it through that time. And I realized then, if I had not realized before, that I could never repay those people that did so much for us, but maybe I could pass it on and not let the chain of love stop with me. When I think about my dad, for example, and all that he did for me for so many years, and realize that now I cannot tell him, I cannot do anything to show my appreciation to him, I realize that the way I'm supposed to show that appreciation is to pass it on to my children and grandchildren. I cannot hug him, but I can hug them. I cannot repay many of the people who have made it possible for me to preach God's word down through the years, because many of them have gone on to their reward. But I can pass it on. And I think that's what Christianity is about. As I thought about that song and tried to think in terms of God's word, this passage in 1 John 4, where Marty read a portion of it, came to mind. And I think it says exactly what I want to put across this morning and what I think you and I need to remember, especially at this time of the year and the season that we're approaching. And that is, don't let the chain of love end with you. First, notice in this passage in 1 John 4, beginning at verse 7 and going through the rest of the chapter, that there are at least five times that he emphasizes God's love toward us. In verse 7, he says that love is of God. Verse 8, God is love. Verse 9, it mentions that in this was manifested the love of God toward us. In both verse 10 and verse 14, he says the same thing that said in John 3:16, that God loved the world and sent his Son to be our Savior. And in verse 16, Again, he says that the love of God is to us. And then at least four times in this passage, he indicates that there is a way in which we can return that love to God, and emphasizes that we need to love God. God expects us to love him. He expects us to return the love, not in the measure that he gives it to us. But in verse 9, he emphasizes that we are to live through him, that we might live through him. I believe that passage is saying that there is a sense in which we show our love to God by the way we live. And one of the lessons that I want to bring next week is dealing with the idea that it is strange how people talk so much about Christ and then treat him like they do. It is strange that so many people think about God and how wonderful he is. Just this week, I've heard two or three people talk about how much God had done for them, and I know for a fact that in some of these instances, they never darkened the door to worship God, and seemingly are not too interested in serving him. He says we show our love by living it. Then in verse 15, he says that we show our love by confessing Christ. When we confess our belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that we believe that God did send the Savior, not only by word of mouth, but by the life that we've just been talking about, we're showing our love to God. Verse 19, he says that we are to love him. We love him because he first loved us. I think in the original language that probably there's not a word for him, and it just says we love because he first loved us. But certainly that love ought to include our love for God. And then in verse 20, it talks about how that we ought to say it. We love God whom we've not... If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. But he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? The idea is that we ought to express our love. Let it be seen. But folks, I think the clincher in this is that our love to God is shown by passing it on. Right in the text where he emphasizes how much God has loved us and how we're to love him, notice what he says about loving others. First, look at verses 11 and 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. How is his love perfected in us? If we love one another. We show our love to God, really, by passing it on to someone else. Our lives should become channels through which the blessings of God flow to those that are around us. I remember the story of the time that the woman was helping the little boy at Christmas time and buying things for him and helping him, and he looked up at her and asked the question, "Ma'am, are you God's wife?" That may be a little bit way out, but it says really what we're talking about. And it says that in this case, this little boy saw in this woman and what she was doing something that made him think of God. And I believe the things that we have been doing this week and trying to help others and meet the need of others is showing God's love to them and at the same time showing our love for God. Don't let the chain of love end with you. And then in the 17th verse, there's an indication of how far this love is to extend. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. Now notice these three words. In this world. How many times have you heard the statement, we're in the world, but not of the world? How many times have we said that though we do not love what people are doing, that we're to love people? Though we may not approve of what everyone's doing. Sometimes, folks, some of the people that we help in a benevolent way are not living like they ought to live. But the need is there, and especially when it is a child that has a need, no matter what the circumstances are. You see, he says, we're living in this world. There's where our opportunities are. There's where we find the challenges. There's where the needs exist. And as we look around us and do things such as we have discussed, and in addition to that, we do things as individuals every day as we have opportunity, we're passing the love of God on to others, even in this world. And then in verses 20 and 21, he discusses what's one of the most important ideas, and that is that we're to love our brethren. We've already talked about love one another earlier in the chapter, but here he says you love your brother. If you don't love your brother whom you've seen, how can you claim to love God whom you've not seen? And loving your brother whom you've seen is really the way that you love God whom you've not seen. You and I cannot walk up to God in person, although in a sense he's present everywhere, and express our love, except that we express it through prayer and ways like that. But in the real sense, the way we express it is to one another, loving our brethren, loving those that are in the world, and showing that love by our actions. That's passing it on. The principle that we're talking about here is used in 2 Timothy 2:2 in talking about teaching. Paul said, Timothy, the things that you have heard of me, you teach others, faithful men, able men, who shall be able to teach others also. If you stop and think about it for a moment, even in the teaching process, we're involved in that this morning. There are people who have lived here in Henderson who have sacrificed in the past to teach God's word, some to some of those that are here this morning who are in turn teaching others. Many of the men and women that taught me when I was a little boy have already gone on. And yet because they taught me the gospel, I have the opportunity to teach the gospel to others. And those whom we're teaching this morning, especially these young men and women and boys and girls, then if this earth continues, we'll have an opportunity a generation from now to teach the gospel and to keep it going, not letting it stop. That's exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about the subject of love. Many times you and I will think about our parents and our grandparents and our friends who are not with us anymore, and we're heard to say, oh, I wish she was here or she was here so I could tell her how much I love her. I wish I could tell her what she meant to me while she was here. Or maybe we're separated by distance from some of our family and we find ourselves saying, oh, I wish I was there so I could hug my child or my grandchild. And when that's not possible, maybe we just pass it on by hugging someone else's grandchild or showing an interest in someone else. Folks, Christianity is based on the idea of the chain of love. That fellow by the name of Joe did not think about what might happen when he changed that lady's tire. And yet if you caught the name, when the waitress went home that night, she said, I love you, Joe. In this case, the same woman who was helped by her husband helped her. Don't let the chain of love end with you. You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you. And I just imagine that there is a sense in which God today is looking at us and saying, if you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you. Let's determine that we'll do everything that we can to show concern and love to those who need it about us, and realize that that's the way we show appreciation for the way God has loved us. And that prompts me to think, as we are reminded of the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how in the world can anybody who thinks about the love that God has shown us hold back from obeying the gospel and living for God. If you need to come and confess the name of Christ and be baptized or come asking for prayers to be restored to your first love, don't let the chain of love end with you. Let us stand.